Hey everyone,
what's up guys?
What it do?
Welcome back to another episode,
episode 6 of
Black Lives Matter. Just yep. To get that out the way,
had to tell them. Let them know. So welcome to episode 6 of Pit Pod. We finna start.
What else is new, honestly, what we started with?
I started with the music. So we wanted to just jump into some of our favorites, like up-and-coming, yeah, on the way, hip-hop artists. Yeah. So
for sure.
Some of our favorites, I think one of your favorite artists, period, is Don Toliver.
That's my guy. I feel like, remember when he first came out, we first started to hear about him more off Astroworld, and I told you, I was like, he gives me Travis vibes. I made the mistake of saying almost better than Travis. I was wrong.
Yeah, come on.
I can admit that.
Come on.
But at the same time, they have a similar energy, a similar sound. One thing I feel like Don Toliver's struggling with right now is a lot of his music sounds the same. It's all good music, but
when people do that, don't you see the same thing with DaBaby too?
Yes.
Because it's but see, their initial sound, no one else out there sounds like Don Toliver. No one else sounds like DaBaby, Sam, Roddy Ricch. He has a distinct sound. So I think it's pretty tough to be do you stray away from your niche in the music,
right,
by making stuff that sounds different? Or that's what got you lit in
where
the first place,
yeah.
Is because you don't sound like anyone else.
True enough. Yeah, I remember making that argument. I think it was with you and somebody else. I was like, DaBaby definitely has a similar sound, and I didn't like him for that, but it works for him.
But it works.
Yeah, so it's hard to know better or not. But I feel like maybe once Don Toliver grows as an artist, he'll be able to branch off from that, kind of like how Travis did. But I think he definitely follows in those Travis footsteps, and that's probably why I rock with him so heavy.
Yeah. I think, wasn't he one of his mentors or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know for facts, but it does seem like he takes a lot of influence from Travis. His I think too, artists like Thugger and Travis, they use their voice as an instrument.
Yep.
Thugger does some of that yodeling stuff. Don Toliver does the yodeling stuff.
It's so Travis definitely does. Travis, yes, ad-libs itself.
Ad-libs or the rah. Mm-hmm. He makes noises. And it's
right, but it works.
And it's he's using a vocal instrument.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Don Toliver does. It's unique.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why a lot of his stuff just rings off.
Yeah, he has a bunch of good songs. So the last project that he just dropped is Heaven or Hell, and that one was a really good project to me. Some jump offs on there, Cardigan,
Cardigan.
But I came in on Donnie Womack. That was his first project in 2018.
Did it have Purple on the cover?
Yeah. That one's really, really tough. Some ones from that I liked are Diva, Video Girl, but whatever. You guys can go listen to it. And then he just dropped his latest single with Gunna on it. Your guy Gunna.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Cafeteria.
Yes, that one was good.
Yeah, that one's really good.
It has a little Nobu cover.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. Definitely falls into the category of how he sounds.
Exactly.
But he's true to his sound.
Decent, yeah, definitely, yeah, true to his sound for sure. But yeah, for newer artists, that's definitely one that we've been up on for a little bit now.
Yes, another one is rapper Flo Milli.
Mm-hmm.
First time I heard her, I immediately thought, she's she gives you Rico a little bit.
Oh, for sure, even the way she dresses, her energy, it's not as punk as Rico, it's definitely that feminine, girly, but edgier, sexy kind of vibe. And then the way that she comes off with her sound too, it's where do you get this from?
Right, because what did she say? Send your niggas back home. She just it's cutesy. But
you know she means it.
But you know she's no Kizzy. She's not Captain.
If Powderpuff Girls were real life,
yeah, she's
her,
the green one.
Yeah,
she's the green one.
Which one's Rico then?
Oh, Rico's the green one too.
Right, two green ones.
Rico, Sweetie's the orange head.
Is there a pink one?
The pink one.
That's the Sweetie.
Sweetie's the
pink,
one, and then Blossom is some. I don't know.
Blossom's flopping filled yet.
It might not have been.
Yeah, but we got two green ones now.
We got two green ones.
So they're really ringing off.
That's
fights.
Funny, because just some of her singles, remember, dicks up when I was at the party. Like, she came on with it. Like, it's, but it sounds cutesy.
Yeah,
like,
it's
like
good.
It sounds like
you like, want to like, just like bah,
like
bah,
bah, bah. Like it like yeah. It sounds like a like a little kid like theme song playing, yeah. Or like a Pac-Man game mm-hmm. or like a game, but it's Bahar lyrics, Hawaii's you hear, that's the new yeah. project, and the cover for that was super cool. Mm-hmm.
Very like 70s, girly,
very
90s,
70s, but yeah,
like girly, but like I'm not here to play type.
I'm not finna play with you.
Yeah,
definitely.
But yeah she's definitely a hard one to listen to. She's kind of giving me like a mainstream like Meg. I feel like Meg has bars. I think Flo Milli has bars too, but can't compare it to Meg right now. But that's like the stream I feel like she's getting on. Like, she's definitely able to like spit something and you feel it and you like know what's there. So I'm getting a vibe between like Meg and Rico. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it.
Yes,
but
which could very well be, yeah, maybe her stuff is more melodic, so it's like mm-hmm. so it sounds more. That's why I think it gives you like that, like Rugrats theme song, right? Mm-hmm.
Similar to Rico. Yeah, for sure. But she's one to look out for. And then our last one is Mulatto.
Yeah, Mulatto.
Is it Miss Mulatto or Mulatto?
I think she changed it to just Mulatto. She was Mulatto. She was Miss Mulatto on that show. She was on that
she
show.
She was on TV, yeah.
Shoot, I don't remember what it's called.
Is but it Grown Up Hip Hop? No, it's not Grown Up Hip Hop. Right? Because neither one of her parents are in the industry.
No, I don't believe so. It was, and then, I don't even remember, but it was this producer that had a show for like little kids mm-hmm. that could like rap and stuff, mm-hmm. and she was on it. Like, that's how she like jumped off on like to begin with.
Right.
But then like I think mostly like, or they call her like Big Lotto. Like,
yeah.
Mostly like her single, Bitch from the South,
basically,
was the one that really put her on. That song is so good.
It's good.
I'm a Rilla.
From the South. Yeah, like, for sure.
That one's really so good. And then she got people on the remix. Mm-hmm. That's how people go up.
Do you mess with the remix heavier or less?
Probably less.
Okay, I do too.
Just because, like she doesn't need it.
Right. That's why. But the visuals for the remix are tough.
I don't think I've seen them.
The visuals, it's like this, like, Southern, you know, like how Beyonce did that whole like drive through gas station situation with Lady Gaga.
Yeah,
it's like that, but like a Southern telephone? Version of it. Yeah, it's okay. Not the same, like musically, yeah. Not the same vibe as Telephone as the song, but like that kind of energy. That's what it reminds me of. But like more black instead of like
more black,
not like black,
more just straight up black.
Right,
because she but that's how people seem to like go up, because just like Jack Harlow did the song,
right.
His song went up, then he got a whole bunch of people on the remix,
right.
Goes up even further, so right. I guess that's the way to do it.
But you also, like, that goes to show you gotta have some sort of talent and interest from other people from before you can even get people
on your song.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then she just makes herself a Gucci Mane, so I guess she's going up, so I mean, good for her.
A lot of people tried to clown her for the Gucci Mane thing. And then he like got on a song with her, and everyone's like, yeah, y'all tried to really clown him for this, but he's really like on with her too. But yeah, I think she's getting more like mainstream and like bigger too, so I think that's cold.
Yeah, good for her. She's young.
Right.
Younger than us, I think.
I don't know why, bro, but it's literally giving me like Chief Keef vibes. Not like as drill, you know what I mean? But the way that he came up. Like, he was very drill, very like hood, like a lot of people in the hood like mess with him heavy. And then, like, that kind of energy started to get more mainstream and, like, more not just to the hood scene. And I feel like that's where she's going, too. Like, I feel like she's going from, like, just, like, kind of, like, popping and talking her whatever, like, the city girls or whatever. But then that becomes, yeah. like, more and more and more mainstream, too, rather than it just being a specific audience, which I love. Because that's the type of stuff that influences, like, everything else. Like, that energy influences music. Other music influences other artists, influences fashion, like, all types of stuff. So, it definitely all starts, like, coming from the hood.
Yes.
But,
so
yeah.
Speaking of that, yo, stuff that comes from the hood that black people created that everybody else wants to cap on.
Ooh, child.
And steal and appropriate.
Right.
Is the language.
Right.
The slang. Right. So, I always had a problem with white people in particular, mm-hmm. especially white girls saying sis. Because mm-hmm. I'm like, wait. Don't call me sis.
Right.
No, I'm not sure. Like,
we're not kin.
We're not kin. Super far from it. So I think it's just like really important to recognize that honestly, like, even though it's black slang, like, is what a lot of people would, like, characterize it as or refer to it as, and it seems as though people are talking improper, and it's, like, you know, like, double negatives. I ain't finna da-da-da, or, like, saying stuff like that. But those are actual, like, grammar rules to African-American vernacular English, so it's really proper.
For us.
Yes. It's a dialect.
Right. So, and I think it's like... Crap. It's. I think it's weird to, like, not recognize that you use that language, but then also, like, not recognize that you don't support the people that that language comes from. You know what I mean? Like, how do you use it and then, like, see it become so mainstream because others pick up on it and then make it mainstream, but then also in a way you can still disrespect the culture it comes from?
Yeah.
Because you have to check that at the door. Because if you're calling me cis, but then also doing, like, weird, racist, racially, like, motivated... jokes or things like that, then that's, like, wildly backwards. Problematic. Like,
yeah, it don't make sense. Or if, like, how, like, all of these little, like, phrases, like, I can't, when somebody, child, don't say child. If you don't say child, woo child.
That used to be a thing. Everyone used to be like, okay, I'll bite. What is woo child? Or woo chile? It's like, you don't even get it.
Say that.
You don't get it.
Come on, my mama been saying that for forever. Right. Like, don't cap on us, cause that's it's annoying. Woo chile, I'm done. No, like it's just annoying that it's just like gotten. That's what the funniest stuff is on Twitter.
Right.
Is the stuff that uses black slang, and like on TikTok, the funniest stuff is the stuff that uses black slang. But
yeah, we're literally in the streets still having to fight for
having
a voice. Our lives, like so many things.
So many things. So I don't. Do you have a problem if you? What about if you encounter someone who may be white or essentially just not black, but they grew up around black people, or like in the projects where there was a lot of black people? How do you feel about them using like language like that?
I see. That's a hard one. That's a good question though. To me, if they grew up around it, I can't be as mad. I feel like it's a teachable moment. And I feel like it's hard to tell someone, like, how they should speak when, like, their mother speaks like that because their mother came from there. Their dad speaks like that because their dad came from there. They speak like that because they came from there. And the people that they're around also speak like that. So I think that's harder. And I think it's a teachable moment. But I also don't think you can expect those types of people, non-black people that grew up around, like, people that speak that vernacular. Like, I don't think you can necessarily expect them to change. Now, people came from where we came from and talk how people talk that are from a different like space and use that kind of vernacular, then I think that's problematic because it's like
you from the suburbs,
right? You're like where did you even pick that up from? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like I don't necessarily think you can fault someone that comes from a place where that's spoken a lot, because it's not like they're like completely appropriating it. That's how they grew up too, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think,
but the N word's off limits.
Period.
I don't care where you come from. That's off limits.
I do not care. That's period. You gotta be black for that one. That's right. Point blank. Period. I think though, don't you think like if you grew up in like close proximity to black people, then if you were aware, you should have seen how differently black people were treated than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a non-black person, so from that standpoint, I think it's like you should almost have more respect. And
I don't
not
disagree with that either. I don't disagree with that either at all. But I think like everyone from the South sounds like they're from the South, you know what I'm saying?
So it's kind of folks.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to take that out of someone's like
and
character.
I see you can't fault
you know what I'm saying?
People like, can't help it.
You can't really do that. But if they're like OD with it, like honestly I'm gonna bleep that out.
No.
Because no free clout.
No free clout.
But like if they're OD like that, then I think it's just disrespectful at that point.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess because some of it I'm like definitely about the N-word. I feel like that's for black people to decide if they
only
think it's right or wrong, and that's the end of story. And I kind of think that about some of the other like slang as well. Nothing is as like pressing as the N-word, or like how you said, it's like if white folks was it terrorizing us to begin with, there wouldn't be no N-word.
There wouldn't be a problem.
There would have never been no N-word to
like,
be said.
Everyone's language could be everyone's or not, and it wouldn't be a problem. Like if it wasn't like we were being persecuted for the way we dress, the way we talk, the way we look, the way our hair grows out of our scalp, the way our skin like is. Like, if there wasn't a problem, then there would be no problem now. If you didn't like the way that we talked back then, why are you trying, like, why are you using it so much so now, but then completely unable to, like, defend the same, like, culture that the language you like to use comes from? Like, right. it's very backwards. So, like I said, check that at the door.
Yeah, if you wanted to be separated from us so bad, like, they did, it was, you know, just, like, colorism and all of those sorts of things. Yeah. The closer you are to white, the better
it is, yeah,
for you. And if you wanted to be that separated now, but since we're just lit, mm-hmm. and everything we do, we influence culture in so many aspects, so for that aspect, it's cool to be black. But for everything else, you don't want to. Yeah. You're like, I ain't really trying to get killed by the police. Right. So I'm gonna stay in my lane, but still, like, mooch off their culture.
Right. And just to say, it shouldn't sit right with you.
If that's something
you're doing, respectfully, stop. Like, it's literally that simple.
It should not sit right with you. No.
Right.
It's the culture vultures for me, huh?
Yeah, can't do it.
Can't do it. So we also just wanted to acknowledge the passing of Congressman John Lewis.
Right.
I think I was a freshman in college. I'd taken a course, mm-hmm. that was all about the nonviolent movement, mm-hmm. That mostly happened in the South during, like, after Reconstruction and during Civil Rights Movement. So it was a whole class, and then basically class ended, we took like a week-long trip, we went through we went to Selma, Alabama, yeah. Stayed there for a week, went through on the way back we went through
Montgomery,
or we went to Montgomery as well, yes, we went to Montgomery, and then we went to Missouri where Michael Brown was killed, walked the same route that exactly where he was killed, that saw the spot. So really powerful, one of the best things I spent my money on in college, for big facts, mm-hmm. and I just think one of the most powerful things was we went on the bridge, which is named after a Klansman, so that's disrespectful in the first place. It should be renamed after John Lewis, mm-hmm. Not that the name is what's most important. What's most important is that black people aren't ever revoked of their voting rights ever again,
right.
and that they're always given the chance to vote. But the fact that we, like, walked over that bridge, saw, like, where Martin Luther King and mm-hmm. himself were turned around and beaten, mm-hmm. by Alabama state troopers, and John Lewis's, like, skull was cracked, and mm-hmm. He could have lost his life that day, super young, and the fact that he, all the way up till, like, Lord 2 months mercy. Ago,
yeah.
Same thing still happened. Alabama state trooper, it was the MPD this time, but same thing still happened. He fought this fight his entire life. He got to see the needle move a little bit, but it was never resolved. So that's for all my black folks and people who are able to vote, who don't, like, you, people can't vote because it wasn't born here, felonies, all of those things. When you are able to vote, there, especially if you're black, there's no excuse not to, because people did so much, work just for us to do that. So there's something we cannot take for granted. Especially not this time.
Not at all.
And don't write in no what? Kanye. Don't write in no Kanye, period.
He's not running. For anyone that's confused, he's not running. It's not possible for him to be in the race.
Use your vote wisely.
Right.
Because
don't split the votes.
You see what what people put their lives at risk to give us the chance to vote. So there's no reason that you should not vote if you are able to.
And I think that it's, like, pertinent to, like, really stop and think. So how old did you say he was when he died?
88,
right? Or in his 80s, like,
yes.
so he's obviously, like, grown up, used his voice, and been a part of this sort of movement literally up until, like his passing, which was recent. He was 80.
Yep.
But just, like, think about that. So he was essentially, if you count it from day of birth, 80 years of him either experiencing or trying to combat, like, racism and systematic oppression. Think about that.
Systemic, yep.
Yeah.
So it's like, right, so he, I think the Voting Rights Act was passed in 1965. He was born in 1940, so he was a couple years older than us, maybe. Mm-hmm. in his 20s that first time, and then he was arrested like 40 some times doing the right thing. And then, you know what's also so ironic is that, like, during before his like funeral, they took his body across the bridge one last time, like in memoriam, and to celebrate the things that he did to gain voting rights for Black people. And but back then he was breaking the law. Now they're celebrating him. So that just tells you how backwards our country is, right, and how messed up it is from the jump, because Black people been knew. We knew that was wrong. We been knew. But so now we can get, we're celebrated for it. We're celebrated. Stuff still ain't right. But like, it could, because there's still so many things, voter ID laws, that specifically work against Black people, that you, like, I don't think you should need an ID to vote. You shouldn't. I don't think so. Because
you should, if you're gonna have to be able to like verify something, any form of verification,
anything, that's anything like, you have,
you should be able to.
You should be able to use. And there's things like that, or the fact that you have a specific polling place. I don't think that should be a thing either. Because what if you're at work?
Right.
First of all, voting day should be a holiday, because everybody should be able to go to vote.
That's,
you gotta
come
to the polls during this time and this time. You gotta stand in line, but you had to go to work.
Not to mention the literal like things that are put in place, like the issues that people are having, like being able to mail their votes in and stuff now, yep, with like our mailing services. Like there are literal like things put in place so that like voting is harder to like come by for some people that may be farther out but can't get to where they need to get to. Like there's so many issues that like are literally like part of the process and put in place so that certain votes don't get to where they need to be in time. So like on top of that, you're also making it like problematic to even be able to walk in there if you forgot your ID, or to drive like 30 minutes if it's farther from your house than like whatever. So it's like there are definitely like things in place for like people to not be able to pass their votes and like have their voices heard and basically be able to change what we are currently in. This because atrocity, tragedy of like a presidency into something like, can we even say better?
I don't know, but it's the little, if you like look at it, all the voting rights affect people who are marginalized, mm-hmm, for the most part, for the majority, and poor people.
Mm-hmm.
And for the majority, those people are voting for people that are not Republican.
Right.
So that's why they do it, because they don't want to lose.
Yeah.
And so like if you can like keep the man down, you can't even let him vote, then you can buy yourself a little bit.
Right.
But that's what they do.
And that literally feeds into like our prison system too, because once you're like convicted, you're not able to vote anymore. And who do they like to put in prison most?
Black folks.
Right. So it's like all of that's like a system that in itself is just a little bit of a part of the system that you can kind of like see. But yeah,
so what is our point? Vote. You
right. dig?
Like, you gotta
like,
vote.
Period.
Every state should have same day registration as well, because not everybody does.
Right.
Because if you should be able to go up there and register, like if you're qualified, why not?
Right.
If you are, they already put enough rules. If you can pass all them rules, why can't you vote?
Right. Yeah. And then like one last thing to like really leave off with is Black lives still matter. So people are still in the streets protesting. I know it's not hugely like covered by the media anymore. Probably more so to take off the, like, I don't know, stigma of it maybe even being a thing, or the simple fact that they just don't want you to see it, for people to continue to know that it's a big deal and something that still needs to be addressed. But there's still like protests going on all over around the country, even in different countries, and it's still like, it wasn't just a trend. Like a lot of people were talking about, you posted your black square on Instagram and you went like that. I hope to God that's not the first or the last time that you've been thinking about how black people are treated in this country. And that's really all I have to say about it. So,
and matter is the minimum. That's like the least,
right,
that people, that's like, matter is like dogs, okay, matter.
Cool.
Sand matters.
Right.
Plants matter.
Right.
That matter is the minimum. Black people did so much,
mm-hmm,
for other black people and for everybody in the country. Would have never been built had it not been for black folks.
Right.
So that's on period.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
I guess to move into a lighter note.
Yeah, where actually a lot of people are part, black people make up 70-something percent of the NBA.
Mm-hmm. And NBA's back.
NBA's back, and they're using their platforms this time.
Very well,
Very well, just because they can't have no audiences, can't nobody be at the games. Mm-hmm. But like I've seen WNBA games so far and mm-hmm. NBA games where they've had WNBA especially, they've had Breonna Taylor's name like on all of the little screens yeah. where you usually got advertisements, they got stuff on the back of their jerseys.
Yep.
NBA, they're letting them choose a message or a movement to put on the back of their jersey as opposed to their last name.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing it's symbolic.
A lot of the interviews are solely being directed to conversations about Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, they don't answer questions. If you guys have
seen that, they're not answering questions. They're basically just saying justice for Breonna Taylor. And I,
you know what I wish that they would do? I have yet to see. They keep saying justice for Breonna Taylor, arrest the cops that killed Breonna Taylor. Mm-hmm. Say them cops' names.
Yeah.
I wish that they would I would tell, if I was the whatever on one of them teams, I would say we all gonna learn their names mm-hmm. and we gonna say it mm-hmm. because like I've seen it on Instagram, they say they live too comfortably in anonymity for
they
too
do.
Not
because
not everybody knows their name,
and I'm pretty sure one of them was just at the beach
stupid yeah. So say their names. They don't deserve the attention but for the fact that their names need to be out there mm-hmm. so that you know that they know like this is who we trying to get. Say the cops' names.
Right.
Because lock their ass up.
Period.
Yeah.
And that's on period.
That is.
But yeah, NBA is back.
It is.
I don't know. I feel like we got a few things to talk about, honestly, for it to just have rolled around.
I know.
But the first one we're going to start off with is Kawhi.
That man is funny.
We love Kawhi over here, honestly.
He's so funny. He, everything he do turned into a joke.
Exactly.
Because you
he's the least jokey person in the NBA.
Jokey person. That's why everything turns into a joke. He did the little laugh that one time.
Right.
He did the little tombo. The laugh. He did the, what it do, baby. And everybody thought it was so funny. Maybe it's because, like, dude is so, like, stoic and, like, doesn't ever do anything.
He doesn't show any emotion.
But, like, the most recent thing on Twitter was it was supposed to be them walking through the tunnel, and all dude was wearing was like a t-shirt, some basketball shorts, and he had the slides on, and all he was doing was walking, and they said everybody had to come up with a little something that he was doing.
Caption it,
talking about, he looked like he's going down the hallway of the hotel just to get some ice. Or they talking about he looked like he's going to open a door for his girl at the dorm.
Right.
Just some dumb stuff. But them killed me.
I think Kawhi is so funny to me because he is so stoic. And, like, I don't know, like, why he's that way. But whatever. I know a lot of people, like, a big thing about him is that he doesn't really say much either. But even, like, while they were playing the Lakers recently, he got a block on LeBron. And, like, everyone's like, oh, whatever, whatever. And LeBron was obviously complaining about it. And then, like, Kawhi, who doesn't speak at all, doesn't normally trash talk
he's
or anything.
Cancer.
What did I say? But yeah, Kawhi normally doesn't like trash talk or anything like that. You can literally see him on the court mouthing all ball. So I think that's cool. So maybe like he's coming out of his shell something like that. But I did watch, there's this one video I was watching of him like a while back when he would just do like fives and he'd like just do runs and stuff. And like his teammates were saying, like, yeah, Kawhi doesn't really say much. He doesn't trash talk. If anything, he's going to say ball, no. Yes. Like game, like just one word or lines, like shot in your mouth, like little stuff like that. And I think that's so funny because he's so sure of his game too, and he just didn't say much. But
yeah, hey, yep.
Yeah, that's our guy.
That's our guy. He's funny.
He really is. But yeah, a couple of people that have been popping off for me for some of these games have been CJ McCollum. He's been doing really, really great with the Trailblazers alongside Dame. I think they've been having a really good little starting back of the season. And, yeah, I think he's cold. Not really much to say about that. It's a pretty solid game. And then Ja Morant, I think, is really tough. Came into the NBA. He's playing over Grayson Allen, I think.
Really?
He's like the super...
Rookie of the year.
Yeah, rookie of the year.
He should be. No, they don't decide that yet. I don't know.
He should be, though. He absolutely should be.
Trae Young's not a rookie, right?
No.
Is he?
No.
Second year.
Yeah. Second or third, I think. Yeah.
Oh, maybe.
But,
okay.
Yeah, he's been cooking.
NBA 2K cover for Ja.
You think Ja should be? I don't think he's earned that yet. I would give it to him, but I don't think he's earned it yet.
With them big nostrils.
Yeah.
But, bro,
I was watching him play, and he's small.
He's skinny.
Yeah, he's very skinny.
Very skinny.
But, like, he gets
Slender Man.
Yeah, bounces nuts. He's fast as I don't know what.
He got a kid.
He does have a child. But yeah, he runs the Grizzlies, I think it is. And I think they have a really good team this year. I think it's a bunch of, like, young players or rookies that, like, see the floor a lot. I could be completely wrong, but I think. And they look like they have a pretty solid team. So that'd be cool to see what happens with that. And then we had a... Is it JR or RJ?
JR
Smith, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I think it's funny. We were joking earlier because back in the playoffs when he messed it up for LeBron, we said, LeBron sent him off for a couple years.
Sent him off. He thought the clock was... He didn't know. He wasn't aware. He was dribbling. Confused.
Yeah.
He wasn't aware.
But yeah, so we were like, LeBron must have sent him off for a couple years. Now he's back. Back playing with LeBron, too. So I think that's funny. But yeah. And then one last person I wanted to mention was Melo. Because I was watching, like, clips of him playing, too. And, like, I guess I didn't realize how big he is. But he's just big. Like, a large person. Not, like, fat or anything. But, like just tall and big. I don't know why I was so shook because he's in the NBA. But
he looks kind of lazy to me.
You said he plays lazy?
Because he never plays defense.
Oh, yeah.
He just... I don't know. He just, like, sits out, like, outside the arc and, like...
And shoots.
Yeah.
Like, quick shot.
Yeah.
And then gets in the lane and he'll board. What does he say? He's like, get out of here. And, like, grabs the ball off the rim. I'm like, you get out of here.
Hey. See, and then all he does is this. The right. little point to his head. After he shoots a three that he just sat on the rim. Like,
right.
Like, on the wing for. So, I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, and I don't know. I can't remember if he's still, like...
Still no ship, right? He's never won.
No, I don't think so. That might be why he came back,
so
honestly.
Maybe, I think he's probably going to retire with that one, but...
Well.
You know?
Whatever, honestly. Yeah. But, yeah, that's kind of how we are coming on the NBA.
Oh, yeah, so I need a ring like Carmelo. Frank said it. Don't have one. Frank said I need a ring like Carmelo. Yeah, he doesn't have one.
He might need to delete that
on
bar,
Nikes.
Then.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah.
Well...
Back to the music.
We wanted to kind of go in depth with one of our favorite artists that we both really, really, really mess with.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Travis. It's La Flame.
Right.
And we just got the list of some of our the top tier Travis tracks. Like
our top 10 go-tos.
Top 10 go-tos. Archive these joints in the Library of Congress because they that good.
Scribble it on the back of the Constitution.
Right. Etch it in.
All that. Matter of fact, take some lyrics from all these songs and rewrite the
Constitution. Rewrite it. So what? First off, one of the best ones from... What'd you go? Oh. From... I'm capping. From Owl Pharaoh. So that's his first project before
like a tape situation.
Yeah, it's a tape off of Owl Pharaoh before Days Before and all those things. So Quintana is on that. That one is like
OG.
We were just kind of listening to his verse on there and it's really drill, nigga doesn't miss.
Very like
yeah.
Like this one and one of the next ones we're gonna mention, you can see him like starting to get into his like rodeo/birds bag way more. Yeah. Like he's kind of coming into a sound. And I was saying earlier, like for him to only have like so many like projects that he's released, like he's come a really long way and like been pretty successful in the way that it's like come about like in a pretty quick manner. So yeah, Quintana's definitely a hitter for me. I remember exactly when I heard that song. This was back in the day, so I wasn't on the phone, I was on the desktop listening to music.
LimeWire.
This was YouTube, so I was a little up.
Okay.
But yeah, I remember the song and I messed with it heavy. I love the energy behind it for sure.
Yes, Quintana's one of the tops. So the other one from Owl Pharaoh is Upper Echelon.
Mm-hmm.
That one, the same thing. It's the screamy Travis.
Yep.
But a part of his signature sound.
Mm-hmm. You can just tell he's like finding his way.
Right.
Through like what he wants his true sound to be like.
Yes.
But yeah, there's not much to say about that one. I guess really the same vibe.
Yes, super tough. After that, we have off of Days Before Rodeo, Drugs You Should Try It.
Wow.
It's brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like you can't just the production, the instrumental, when we heard it live, I was like, you zone, your brain leaves your body. Yeah. You're not there anymore, because it's when you can make music like that, that's just a talent. I don't know what else to say. You leave your body for that one.
Yeah.
Can't even believe that that's on the tape before the thing. Before you even started dropping, like, official projects. Yeah. That's on the tape. So, my guy, been talented.
I feel like with this list, though, bro, you can really see, like, the evolution of, like, his sound. Like, where he's going with it, what he's trying to achieve. He's trying to put all of this stuff together. And then I feel like right around Birds is where you get, like, prime, true Travis. Like, that's kind of how I feel about it. But, yeah, Drugs is... there's really no words for that one. It's just
brilliant. Right. I think it's brilliantly done. So after Drugs, You Should Try It, off of what's the next thing, Rodeo, we had
90210. Yeah, that one's just a simple banger. Like, makes you feel like, I don't know what it is about Travis, but he can definitely for sure make you feel something in his music. And this one, I feel something. I think it's like the melody for the hook and at the beginning really makes me like feel something. And then he just comes in and it's Travis, so it's not ever going to be a miss. But
right,
yeah, talking about that one heavy
strippers from the valley. And then also from Rodeo, Nightcrawler.
Yeah, it's my favorite one. It's because
Sway
and Chief are on that one.
Yeah, oh yeah, Chief is on that too.
And I think that's a weird combination, but it works.
Yeah.
Which is in true Travis fashion. But, because he's even done music with like James Blake, and it's hit.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. But, yeah, Sway and Chief Keef are on that one on the last two verses, and it just bangs. Like, it's a real good, like, kind of a headbanger, still mixes in like a lot of melody, really good production.
So after that, his next project was Birds in the Trap. The intro track, The Ends, is really dark. It's I feel like once you look at the cover of Birds and you see like this like dark, like you can't even really see Travis's face, it gives you sonically, it gives you like what the End sounds like, the album cover looks like,
right? The visual for the song, basically.
Yes, very dark. Even the poppier ones on this album, like they have like a really like deep, like if there's still like a darkness to it. I don't know how to describe, but yeah. It goes along with the project really well.
Really well. I think we synonymously were like, this is, if anything off of Birds is going to be on this list, it's got to be
Ends,
this one.
The Ends.
And it definitely.
Intro track.
Definitely is. Yeah. What a way to start the track off, honestly.
Yeah.
Because nothing else, like there's a couple honorable mentions we have that are really good too, but I don't think anything truly compares to like how this song like leads a track off and just how it stands on its own too.
Yes. But, big facts.
Yeah.
We also had Maria, I'm Drunk off of this one. This is one of my favorite songs, just like period, honestly. I think it has Justin Bieber on it.
Yeah.
And it has Thugger, but it's super interesting combo. But it's very well done.
Maria, I'm Drunk off Rodeo, right? I don't know, bro. I can't remember.
I don't know either. Yes, it is.
Is it on Rodeo?
Yeah, I'm okay. A capper.
But we have them out of order anyway here, so it's whatever. But
it is off of Rodeo.
But if it were on Birds, it fit.
Yeah.
It would fit, if we're being honest. Like, it fits on Rodeo because that's Rodeo's vibe. But like I said, Birds is like, or like you said, Birds is like way more of like a darker kind of like vampy situation, and I think just like the intro alone on that one is like hard, like it would fit.
Yeah, big facts. So I think that's just an excellent track all around. So after Birds in the Trap, we have Astro. So this definitely is the most mainstream project, which kind of makes me mad because it like clouds like the brilliance on it, and it like makes it seem like super hypey, and when people didn't really listen to the music, you miss a whole bunch.
And it's that one with Drake that everyone was obsessed with. Yeah, Sicko Mode. Yeah.
Which is, honestly, Sicko Mode is brilliant.
It's a great song. Yeah. Like, I remember I didn't like it at first, because I was like, because I'm not a huge Drake fan just because it's Drake. And then also I don't necessarily always like the jump off track. But if you really listen to Sicko Mode, it's a great song. Like, the end song transitions are nuts. The verses are nuts. But the fact that it was so mainstream for me, I think, put me off of it for a while.
Yeah, that can ruin stuff.
Yeah.
But it's still a brilliant track.
But that's not in our top.
Right, no, it's not in our top. Literally one of the best things off of there, Yosemite, is what we had in the top.
Yep.
It's so interesting the way that the whole project, the way that Travis did it, is like he matched the feature. Mm-hmm. So Yosemite sounds like it's a track that could have been on Gunna's project.
Yep. Yeah, yep.
And it shows you the versatility that Travis can do.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the reason that he left off the features on the track list. Mm-hmm. So you really had to listen to it when it first dropped to know who was on it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, his sound matched the feature.
Mm-hmm.
So Yosemite is like, kind of sounds like Gunna's song.
Mm-hmm. I could go either way, and I think that's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think that's so brilliant. And then, what else do we have on here?
No Bystanders.
Yeah, No Bystanders.
So, Juice. That's Juice.
Yeah. True banger.
Yeah, the
this
party
one
never ends.
Rages at the concert. I was completely zoned. I was completely...
I don't even want to hear it. Point blank, period. I've said it before, I'll say it again. To my grave. No Bystanders is the hardest thing off Acid World. Period. Way harder than Sicko. No Bystanders is like one of the hardest songs that I've ever heard in my life. Because when you just get the... get to that, the hook, it's just
and
like
it's the party never ends. That part is so melodic, and the beat's just going nuts.
Yo, and Juice, I was getting disappointed when I was at the Juice concert. I was getting disappointed because I'm like, he's not gonna do No Bystanders.
Right.
And then guess what my guy did? No Bystanders.
Right.
He still came up and just, he still did it, had the little track through Travis's part, but he did his part, and I was like, oh, and it was amazing.
That's nuts.
Amazing to see.
That concert was, we were just saying we would go back. If we could rewind time,
pre all of this, like his concert, and then, and then at Juice's show, he did it himself, but. Impeccable. What can I say?
So nuts.
And then also, last thing off of Astral World that like just goes up, super up, is Can't Say.
Mm-hmm.
That's
where we first get that super more aware taste of Dawn. It's
I didn't know him before this.
Yeah, figure out who he is and what he is as an artist. And this is when I was literally like okay, I like this guy, like let me go listen to more of his music. That's when I came back and I was like, really like super Travis vibes, like may like him more than Travis type thing, because like Don kills his verse on this one, and
who wrote that? I wonder who wrote that.
He probably
because
wrote
because just the point,
I hope
just
so.
The okay, we don't want to alcohol. Shawty licked me clean the way she sucked me up. Like, who did that?
It's
just perfect.
It really
it's perfect.
Is.
They each say it too, which is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Because they each say the same hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Instead of...
But I think that's brilliant, bro, because both of us sitting here pointing at each other.
Like, you know?
but I think
it's like, you know, we passionate about this
one. I think it's so crazy, bro, because we have Travis's verse, and then they come in with that, like Travis lit, whatever. Then you get the hook, and it's like, okay, cool, transition kind of brings you back down. Emotions kind of, like, subdue a little bit. Then Don comes back in.
Says the same thing.
Says the same thing. Lights the track back up. Like, yeah, I don't know. That, I don't got words.
Next level,
dude. Yeah, definitely, for sure, next level.
So do you have any other ones? Those are the ones that we said are, like, top tier, like, essentials.
Yep.
Period. Some of his best work. So what are your other ones? Do you have any other ones that you want to add up in there?
Yeah. So for some honorable mentions, just off any Travis project, I definitely have Houston Fornication in here.
Yeah.
good track.
A little vacation.
Yup, a good track.
Houston Fornication.
And then we also have our 3-pack off of Astroworld. So we mentioned Can't Stay in Yosemite from it, but the other one, just the way that it plays in the track list when you first listen to it all the way through, is Can't Stay. So it's like those three tracks back to back to back create like the perfect like lit kind of situation, the build up from Yosemite all the way up to Who What. Yeah, it just plays well. So those ones I had in there. And then off of Birds, we got SCP Interlude. He really doesn't say anything but smoke one, drink one, pop one the entire time. But like the melodies of that, the way it's produced, like all that really rings off. And then Guidance from that track, or from that album too, are really good ones to me. Honestly, bro, there's so many honorable mentions. I have like a bunch on here. I'm gonna just say the rest. But off of Astroworld, we got Astro Thunder and Coffee Bean. Those just really good songs too. Could have been in the top depending on who you asked. And then
Coffee Bean is literally the best. It might be the best. it might be one of the best outro tracks on album,
for sure.
Period.
Yeah.
Because I think that might be one of the best.
I feel like it grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows and grows on YouTube. Like, you get the lit hype, whatever, of the entire project, and then you end it with that one. It literally sounds like something that would be playing, like, as someone's, like, outroing the end of, like, a night show or something like that. Like, a Jay Leno or something like that.
Almost.
Like, a very, like...
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't...
Interesting.
Whatever. So, those two off of Astroworld, and then... off of Birds, I got First Take, Sweet Sweet, and Loose. I feel like those are really good tracks. Could have been in anyone's top 10, really. And then the last, or I have three more. So Apple Pie and 3500 off of Rodeo. Those two go crazy for me. And then Stargazing off of Astroworld again is the last one I have on here. So, yeah, honestly, like I said, there's so many honorable mentions, almost probably as many honorable mentions as there are top 10s for us. But you really, I don't know if Travis can miss. I think he does a good job of creating a bunch of different, like, sounds and, like, melodies and, like, different songs, really, like, tracks. But, like, a lot of them, like, it's not going to be bad music.
No, that's facts. Do you think you can, like, pinpoint your favorite project?
From him? Honestly, bro... It's between, like, before I really, like, did my analysis and I did it off of just Astroworld and Birds, it's definitely Birds.
Yeah.
But I think about Rodeo and, like, how that, like, progresses into Birds. Like, Birds couldn't be what it is without Rodeo and really anything that comes before Rodeo. But I feel like Rodeo is, like, the most substantial project before he, like, starts to get more and more and more mainstream. So, like, between Rodeo and Birds, it's hard for me. I think Birds has the most, like, collective, like, pieces of work on there that, like, you can listen through Birds all the way through, and it, like, there's really no misses. With Rodeo, like, depending on who you are, how you like to listen to your music, like, even just the way the songs are ordered, I think that track, or that album, excuse me, could be considered lesser. But if you listen to the tracks individually in the order you want, it also could be equally as good as Birds, so... Yeah, just the way that he kind of got it together with Birds, I'd probably say Birds, but it's definitely close for me between Birds and Rodeo. What about you?
Birds.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I think it's Birds. I think it's Birds. Just because everything is matches up.
Mm-hmm.
Matches up, mm-hmm. But you still have, like, First Take and Guidance. Like, Bryson Tiller's in that job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you still have those ones that are not just, like, he's not repping per se, and they're a little bit lighter, but they still, like, match the concept of the whole project. I think it's Birds.
Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing we were talking about too when we were, like, discussing this, is Travis could have, like, any feature on there and it works. Like I said, the James Blake one, I forget the name of that track. Do you remember? I can't remember.
Not off the top.
Justin Bieber. Yeah, Justin Bieber, Chief Keef with Swae Lee, two, like, opposite spectrum rappers. I think Jeezy's on Coordinate. I think that's Jeezy. It's like an older vibe. Then he has T.I. on Rodeo.
21.
Yeah.
21 Savage.
21, yeah. He does a bunch of music with Quavo.
Yeah.
Like it really doesn't matter who's on the song. Dang. Besides, is it Rosalia?
Like, yeah, that was a single.
Yeah, but has he had any other female features?
Yes, yes. 90210.
There we go. Yeah, yeah. See, but that, who is that?
Casey something. Her name is Casey something. I don't know.
Casey Musgraves.
Shut up.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe that's one thing I could ask for, is a couple more female features.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, that's our guy for sure. Yeah, I guess we'll end it off. If we can here, we'll end it off with our R&B final four.
Right. Five,
whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
We got our R&B playoffs. We're doing guys versus girls today. So on the left side of our bracket, we got Summer Walker, Kehlani, Janae, and Snow Allegra. And then on the right side, we have Daniel, Brent, Division, and then Black.
Right. So what's our first two to pick from?
So from the girls, like the first side, it's Summer versus Kehlani. Who you got? I already know who you got.
You know who I have. I have a... Lonnie.
Yeah.
Kehlani. That's my goat.
Right. Remind Summer, though. So we're going to have to debate for that spot because... But it also could be because I haven't been on Kehlani as long as you have. But you also stay in Kehlani, so there's bias there, too.
Yes.
So what are some... How can we figure out who's who? We shouldn't have put these two up against each other.
I know. Oh, man. Yo.
I just think about...
I can't really waver on that one, man.
Okay. I'll give it to Kehlani. Because I feel like Summer... I feel like Kehlani puts together really good projects. Some may be better than others, but each one's going to have a banger song in it. And I feel like simply because Summer... Like, the last EP versus her last album and the way the energy sound different, that throws me off. And, like, her ability to, like, want to put together a good project each time, that's why I'll give it to Kehlani. Because I don't know if Summer always wants to put out good music because it's her versus her label sometimes, it feels like. So, we'll say Kehlani gets that spot.
Yeah.
And then we also have, on the girl's side, Janae versus Snow.
Who you got? I want to pick Snow, but okay, nah.
I don't know.
Forget it. I Snow or who you say?
Snow Janae? Or Janae, yeah.
I want to say Janae just because I want better music. I think Snow. But I don't want to say her because sometimes I feel like she's a culture vulture, so I don't want to.
Really?
Yes, because ever since she did that video with Michael B. Jordan, I got bad vibes because it looked like she was fetishizing him, and I didn't like it. So ever since that, hey, great music.
She does make good music. Solely off the music, though.
Solely off the music, yeah, I'm picking her.
Okay, I was going to say the same. Vocally, I think Janae's more gifted, to be quite honest. I don't think Snow has that much range. But putting together
maybe
a project and like actually like making that project sound good... I think Snow for sure.
Yeah.
I low-key wanted it to be Snow versus Summer because I feel like that's some sort of a debate too. Like, I feel like a lot of people compare them, and I would take Summer over Snow because I think vocally Summer sounds way better and she has way more range than Snow, but yeah, whatever. It's Snow versus Kehlani. Who you got? Bro. B... Honestly, it's Kehlani.
It is. That's on baby. Like,
because no. Kehlani has. I don't know. Does Kehlani have range though? Snow doesn't have range either. But does Kehlani have range?
Yes. I think so.
Objectively, respectfully,
all that. Yes, because her newest project, she has a lot of good features.
She does. Yeah.
Works really good. It's her, and her pen is unmatched. Yeah. Maybe that's it's her.
Okay,
for me.
Yeah, I think the way Kehlani makes her music over Snow's, I think I prefer that. So, all right, Kehlani's winning from the females, and then we got Daniel versus Brent
for the women. Yes, Daniel versus Brent. I'd probably take Brent. Brent Faiyaz. I'm thinking Brent.
I don't know, bro. I kind of feel Daniel.
Caesar, I really like them both.
Think of projects, though.
Yes, bro. But think of Fuck the World.
Fuck the World's good.
and think of... Daniel's best thing is got to be Freudian.
Yeah.
More than this, whatever this newest one is called. I forget.
I can't remember either. But that one has bangers on it too. I think project wise.
Oh, Cyanide.
I think is project the newer wise, one. Daniel wins, bro. Because I know Brent for EPs.
And, okay.
You know what I mean?
And Sonder. He's in that group. Yeah. But, okay. Well, I take. You can pick this one. You can take Daniel. Because I really like them both.
Okay, I'll say Daniel.
And
then we have Division versus Black. This is actually a hard one.
Yeah.
For me.
I know the answer.
Who you got?
I'm taking Black.
Are you really?
Yeah. I really like them both. You know this. Division's OVO. Mm. I literally know Division because of my guy, Drizzy.
Lord have mercy.
Are you stupid? Are you dumb? I think it's...
Someone the other day to me made an argument that Black's, like, all of his music sounds the same. How do you feel about that? I'm trying to figure out some
sounds
objective
similar,
way
but so
to like,
but oh, maybe not. Because I'm just thinking, yo, do you remember the Division project? What's it called? It's got the Division sign on the front and the neon sign.
Is it two projects ago?
Yes.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Not this newest one, not the one before that, but the one before that. Mm-hmm. That's some of the best R&B music I've ever heard in my life. So, okay, maybe you're right.
I feel like it's Division. Because, first of all, it's two voices versus one voice.
Well, there's only one singer in Division. The other guy only plays, like, keys or something.
I thought both of them sang.
They're both in the group. Maybe he does some background vocals, but he's mostly, like, on, like, the instruments.
Okay. I feel like it's got to be Division, though.
Okay, I'm in agreement. I can take that.
Okay, so this is actually hard then because Kehlani versus Division. Because, like, on either side of the bracket, Kehlani wins for the girls, Division wins for the guys. But if we put them up against each other, who do you think you have?
So hard. I still take Kehlani.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like
she makes some impeccable music, I think.
I feel like I take Division. Mm-hmm. But again, it could be because I'm not up on Kehlani, like, completely. But then also, I feel like the vibes are different. Both of them are R&B music. I feel like Kehlani's definitely, like, a nastier, like, sexier vibe, and then Division is kind of like an old school.
They're nasty too.
They are, but like in an old school way.
Yeah.
Like an old school, old head kind of way.
Yeah.
Okay, we can agree to disagree on this one. Because the girls.
They both ate. Yeah. They both goats. So, yeah. Pretty much they goats.
Yeah. But okay, guys, that's basically all we have for you. And yeah.
That's it. I guess you'll see us next time, episode 7.
Yeah, tune back in.
Tune back in.
Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe.
Like, comment, and subscribe, and vote.
And vote.
Vote.
Don't forget to vote.
Don't forget to vote.
If you can help somebody else vote, too.
Yeah, help people register. Get to vote.
Any of that, because we're going to need everyone for this election.
We're going to need everybody.
Sure.
Yup.
All right, guys. We'll catch you next time.
Catch you next time. Period.
Period.